Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to have your Bibles or your iPads or your phones or whatever you guys use nowadays. Sometimes, you know, I get out my old leather Bible, smell the cover, you know, and read it sometimes because I miss. I have a Bible that's a very nice Bible, but since I've graduated to technology, I hardly use it anymore. So, anyway, open your Bibles if you would. Just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm not sure where we're going this morning. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're in a series on, it's called Your Best Friend Forever. Make sure I get that title correct because I didn't get it right last week. Your Best Friend Forever. How many know the Holy Spirit is your best friend forever? And if Jesus said, I'm going to go away, I'm going to give you a comforter, he's just like me, and he's been with you, but now he's going to be in you, and he's going to be with you forever, we should get to know him. He's not an idea. He's not a concept. And I believe the Spirit of God's desire in this series is not really just to go through and just doctrinally teach on the Holy Spirit. There's plenty of that. I believe what he wants to do is he wants us to be a series where we get to know him. We get to know what he likes, what he doesn't like, the environments he loves to be a part of, and the way he thinks. I don't know about you, but I was raised in church my whole life, and I really never learned that. He was just a word on a page to me. You know, Spirit, big S. That's him. But I never really got to know him, and quite frankly, I believe in these last days, folks, we can't afford not to know him. Because your eyes, your ears, your emotions are going to lead you places where your body doesn't want to be. You might as well say amen, that's true. And so, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is talking about, he just got done talking about, veils being over people's minds. And he talked about Moses, and your Bible brings this out, that Moses was a very humble man. He was, really, he didn't even want to lead the children of Israel. He said, hey, get somebody else. I don't talk too good. But God knew Moses from the end. He didn't know him. He knew his end from his beginning. He knew the real person of Moses. And so finally God says, fine, you can take Aaron with you. He'll do the talking. I'll talk to you. You talk to him. Tell him what to say. So they did that, and they led the nation of Israel out of bondage and slavery. But how many know the folks were, if you could use this term, Dave will understand this term, the nation of Israel, the people that consisted of the nation of Israel, they were rascals. Right? And as soon as Moses didn't show for a little while, they decided, well, we've seen some of these gods in Egypt, let's make some of those. And, you know, of course, Aaron wasn't any help because Aaron collected all the gold and stuff from the people. And then when they had made all their idols and things that they were familiar with, because we like to hang out with what we're familiar with, don't we? Moses comes down and says, what are you guys doing? And Aaron says, man, don't look at me, man. I just threw the stuff in the fire and poof, out popped this calf. But Moses came to the place where he would go and spend time with the Lord, and the presence of the Lord would saturate the tissue of his skin. And so he'd come down and he'd be lit up. What if he came down to that song? Light it up. Oh, never mind. But then eventually that would go away. So he put the veil over his face so that the people of Israel, because he noticed when I have the veil over my face, they still think it's lit up. I have a little more influence. And so he would cover his face so that they wouldn't see that it was coming to an end. And so Paul is talking about this, and he's likening the veil being over the minds of people. And see, what was Moses endeavoring to do? Moses was endeavoring to keep under wraps the reality of what was. And so many times as human beings, what do? We come into a church and we know the right language. We know the right words. We know the right actions. You can be in the middle of praise and worship and looking all spirited and you're thinking about, man, what I wish the Super Bowl was today. Not that I was thinking that, but nobody would know, you know. Or you could be thinking, praise you, Jesus, man, I wish this was over. You know, I mean, we don't really know. From the outward, we don't know. So we like to walk around with veils. And the Holy Spirit wants you to understand, look, in the covenant that we have, it's not with print, it's not with a certain expectation, it's with a person. And it's the hardest thing for people to understand because we just love living under law. We love it. Because then we have some kind of measurable statute as to whether or not we're going with God or we're pleasing God. But the new covenant, Paul says here in 2 Corinthians, he says it in chapter 3, he says the new covenant is with the person of the Spirit. And he says in verse 17, he says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Everybody say, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, he's not saying that Holy Spirit is Lord and nobody else is. You know, at least somebody gets off in the ditch on that. Because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they all think like Father. That's real deep. They don't think separate than Father, they think like Father. The Father is a Spirit. Jesus says, Father is a Spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in the sphere of Spirit and truth. Well, Holy Spirit, John said in 1 John, is the Spirit of truth. So when we talk about getting to know the Holy Spirit or those kinds of things, we're not talking about an environment that's separate from knowing Father or separate from knowing Jesus. But mind you, they all have personality. And the Word does bring out in what is pleasing to the Spirit, and I guarantee you what's pleasing to the Spirit is pleasing to Jesus and pleasing to the Father. Likewise, whatever is grieving to the Spirit is grieving to Jesus and grieving to the Father. But if you want to say it like this, if you go back to Genesis, you'll find this, that God said, Elohim said, the plural form of God said, let us make man in our image. Father spoke, Holy Spirit brought it to pass, and the second member of the Godhead we call Jesus, that manifested in the Old Testament, is the manifestation of God. In the New Testament, he's taken on the form of the place of a man permanently. And he's taken on a name that's above every name. And at the name of Jesus, or you could say Yeshua, every knee will bow. But we need to get to know the Holy Spirit because Paul said this. He said in verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. So, we talked last week a little bit about in your Bible, Paul talks a lot about speculations. You know, in fact, go over to Romans 15. I believe it's 15. Well, that's not it. Aren't you glad I'm not perfect? Nobody said anything, so. Okay, I am. Take that back. Scrub that from the recording, if you would. I'll find it here. 2 Corinthians 10, I'm sorry. We were already in 2 Corinthians. If you've just gone through a couple chapters. 2 Corinthians 10, it wasn't Romans. And it says this in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 2. It says, I ask that when I'm present, I need not be bold with confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some. Some people said, yeah, Paul's all bad when he's in front of you, but when he's not in your presence. Or when he's in your presence, he's not all that, but when he's away from you, he talks all bad. And so Paul deals with this and he says, look, when I am in your presence, I need not be bold with the confidence with which I am proposed to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh or according to the natural man. Folks, there's a lot of natural man junk in the church. You know why? Because you know you better than you know him. And Paul says here in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we walk in our natural man. You're in this body. We don't war against the flesh. Or Proverbs would say, we don't lean to our own understanding. He says, for the weapons of our warfare in verse 4 are not of the flesh, or not of your natural man, but are divinely powerful through the destruction of fortresses. And then verse 5, he tells you what those fortresses are. He says, destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raises up against the knowledge that belongs to God. I'm going to say it like that on purpose because that's really what he's talking about here. He's not talking about learning about God. He's talking about the fact that God thinks a certain way and he's thinking a certain way even right this minute, this second. And what tears down those speculations is what he's thinking is revealed. See, I was raised in church my whole life, and God was just somebody way out there somewhere. He never was an ever-present help in trouble. And quite frankly, most folks don't believe that he is. Well, Paul started out the whole letter to the second to Corinthians. It's the third letter. It's really the third letter. We call it 2 Corinthians. It was written 6 months after the first letter. He starts it off by saying that Father is the God of mercy and the God of all comfort. He's an ever-present help. And so here in chapter 10, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not of the natural man. They don't come out of our heads. They don't have their origin in our natural way of thinking. They're divinely powerful through the destruction of fortresses, destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raises itself against the way that God is thinking. And it takes every thought captive. Everybody say every thought. Everything. Not just the thoughts you have on Sunday. Right. Every thought. It's amazing to me how we can get something from the mind of the Spirit of God, and then no sooner have we seen it, we turn around and we just go right back to our heads. Understand this, that what does your Bible say? Your Bible says the things that are hidden belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to men. So understand the way the Holy Spirit works. If he reveals something to you, he's telling you it belongs to you. Why would we pull another Adam, turn around, abandon it, and say, you can have it? You know, that guy gets a lot of grief, but we do the exact same thing. Because Satan didn't just come in there and muscle it out of his hands. He literally got Adam just to walk away and abandon it to him. Right. So Paul is saying, look, the weapons that we fight with are not natural, not from our natural man. They're mighty. They destroy speculations. And every thought, every lofty thing that raises up itself against the way God thinks, and they take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And, I wanted to turn to Romans, because Romans 1:21 says that the best that man can do, the best that natural man can do is speculate. You can just write that verse down, Romans 1:21. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says this, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. Empty deception according to the traditions of men. Now, at least we get theological blinders on and we don't put all this together. Folks, the traditions of men, the foundations of the world system, is nothing more than speculation. So why in the world would we want to live life, develop our ability to speculate? I'd rather, like we talked about last week, and I believe this is from the Spirit of God, He wants you to make a decision. Are you going to live your life out of speculation, or are you going to live your life out of revelation? It's your choice. He's declared 2015, His desire for us is for us to allow Him to build a history with you, to where all for the rest of your life you can look back at the year 2015. And you know how you have friends and some friends that you have a history with. Holy Spirit wants to be that best friend forever that you allowed Him to develop a history with you in 2015. But He said, just like the nation of Israel came to a fork in the road, God asked him to go into the promised land. He took them all the way out of Egypt. All the things that they saw, the Red Sea parting, that is like the coolest natural fish tank I could ever see. No glass. Don't pet that shark. But all the things that they saw, and then he brought them right to the edge of the promised land, and they sent guys in. The guys brought back some of the sample of the produce and things, and they said, yes, it's exactly like we were told. We're talking Chernobyl grapes. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. No, it wasn't Chernobyl, but they were big. And they weren't radioactive either. But they told the people, yeah, it is just exactly as we said it was, but the people are so much bigger than us. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And we're kind of grasshoppers in our own sight after seeing them. And the people had a choice. They were in a fork in the road. God had already said that, you know, this is yours, go in, take it. But they said, why does God hate us? Why does God hate us? He brought us out here to kill us. Now, to us, that probably doesn't mean much because, you know, people say bad things about people all the time. Because sometimes it's true. Because sometimes people get a spirit of stupid on them. And they treat people badly. But God, there's not a bad bone in His body. The Word says He's not a man that He even would lie, that He even has the capability of lying. So when somebody speaks out against Him and says, you hate me, that cuts Him to the core because there's not even an ounce of truth in that. And so God said, fine, you don't want to go in, you're not going in. And then they changed their tune. Oh, we were just kidding. We'll go in. We really will. No, really, 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 we will. No, really, we just didn't know. We'll go in. Nope, too late. You're not going in. Turn around, go back in the wilderness. And you're going to march in there until you drop. You don't want to go in. This is the fruit of your mouth. Your kids can go in. And they did. But understand that that part of Holy Spirit is actually, it's a part of Him, because at some point, see, He wants you to go on a journey with Him, because He's already seen your end from the beginning. As a church, understand that God has a dream in His heart for what this church, how this church is supposed to impact this city and surrounding cities and the world. It's in His heart already. We just get an opportunity to be a part of that. You as individuals, He has dreams in His heart about you. One place, I believe it's Jeremiah, says that He dances over you. And that's not to stomp on you either, just in case somebody was thinking that. He dances over you. When you get up in the morning, do you see God dancing over to you, or do you see Him looking down His nose at you? Because one of them is speculation. Holy Spirit doesn't live in speculation. But understand this, that there is a very real possibility at some point that if He continues to prod and continues to nudge and continues to speak and continues to try to encourage and get us to go a certain direction as individuals and as a church, there comes a point in time if it's apparent that you're just not going to do it. Understand, we run the risk of Him saying, that's fine, I'll find someone else. Honestly, folks, just on the level of an individual, that would just crush me. To get up there and have to stand in His presence, and it's one of those deals where, you know, they see you and they either open their arms and greet you, or they just look at you and keep on walking. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I mean, you know, your mind has these ideas. We like to be welcomed into the presence of Him, but we also want to hear Him say, well done. Right? So, when we're talking about developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit, understand that speculative thought is, well, He let me do whatever because He just loves me. That's speculation. And it's not accurate. Because He put you on the planet for such a time as this, and He has dreams of participating in life with you. And He has dreams of, I mean, think about this. How would you like it if you had gone through the extent of preparing a gift for someone that you loved, and you went through all that, your routine, you took you a while, and you laid it all out, and it took a lot of thought, and you got it all in place, and then you went to give it to them, and they just looked at it and walked away. That's okay. But I really want this over here. How would that make you feel? That's the way Holy Spirit is. He knows you're in from the beginning. He has things out of the mind of Daddy that He wants to bring us into. He has thoughts and a future. You know, Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you. They're thoughts to do good to you, not to harm you. Why are we not willing to take that journey? There really isn't any other options that are any good. So Paul says in Colossians, he told the Colossians, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty according to traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And we said last week that the fullness of Christ is the love, His love, right? As well as other things, but nothing is separate from his love. His love encompasses and is intertwined and saturated in every other part of him. So the fullness of him is love. And it says that love dwells in bodily form, which was in Jesus. And it says in verse 10, in him you've been made complete. Or literally the Greek New Testament says you've been filled with the very same fullness. He's the head over all rule and authority. So if the same fullness that's in him is in you, then he's simply saying, let that be what influences you, not allowing yourself to be taken captive by philosophies, traditions of men, and empty principles of the world system. And understand this, we said this, that the bottom line, the world system, the way it works is, bottom line, it should be no mystery to anybody, so you should never let it take you there. You ready to listen? The bottom line, the way the world system works, the way the darkness works, the way Satan works, the way demonic influences work is they want to bring blame, hang it on your neck as a millstone, and then the object is to shame you to death. Shame you to death. That's the world system. Why in the world do we want to participate with that? Second Timothy 1:7 says, God's not given you a spirit of timidity. He's given you a spirit of power. He's given you a spirit of love. He's given you a spirit of discipline. Verse 8, as a result of all those things he's given you, verse 8 says, therefore do not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. And we'll teach these kinds of things, and as soon as we leave on a Sunday, as soon as the calendar changes to Monday, it's like everybody shifts back to thinking like the world. Is it really that enjoyable for us to live there? When he said he's given you a spirit of, he hasn't given you a spirit of timidity, he's given you a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of discipline, and therefore do not be ashamed. And I love what he said. He goes on to say, same chapter, that was verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed. Verse 12, he says, I'm not ashamed. He says, for I know whom I've believed. And I'm convinced that he's able to guard that which I've entrusted to him until that day. See, the key to not being ashamed is knowing him. And understand that what you entrust to him, he's able to keep it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, Paul said this, we've renounced the things that are hidden. Everybody say the things that are hidden. Because of shame. Not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We renounce the things hidden because of shame. Understand this, that demonic influence, they're dirty dogs, man. Because here's what they do. They want to bring you over into shame and blame as much as they can. So here's what they'll do. They'll just wait for the Holy Spirit to tell you something, to try to prompt you, to try to nudge you, to try to bring you to another place, and they'll stand back and watch you say no. And then they'll take that, twist it, and use it against you to put shame on your head. And, you know, folks are so religious that they don't recognize the difference between something that came from the heart of the Holy Spirit and something that came from demonic influence. So they call it God, and they call it, well, he's really convicting me. We're just flat out ignorant about what comes from the Holy Spirit, what doesn't. Folks, shame and blame never comes from the Holy Spirit. Why is it as human beings we just have to blame somebody? And then we transfer that mindset over on God, and we think that's the way he is. I know when I was a kid, not when I was a kid. Well, I mean, it was when I was a kid too, but when I got to be an adult, you know, I've been around people, and it kind of rubbed off on me, where it had to be somebody's fault. Somebody was going to take the fall for it. It had to be somebody's fault. And you know that's exactly the way the world system is. Somebody has to take the... It ought not be that way in the body of Christ. Because it's not that way with the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what I just said? It's not that way with the Holy Spirit. Now go to Philippians, a little bit of time we have left. Philippians chapter 2. You guys getting anything out of this? I'm gonna play a song for you at the end here. And if you're not awake, you'll be awake once it starts. But I want you to listen to the words of this song. And it's not a spiritual song. And it's a guy singing about a female, but I want you to listen to the words of this song. You've heard it, unless you live under a rock and you haven't heard it. But you've heard it. But do you know that the Holy Spirit, he's personified, we saw it in Proverbs, he's personified as a female, wisdom. Okay? I want you to listen to the words of this song, and at least you think I'm a heathen. You can take it up with him because he's the one that reminded me about it and told me to go look it up. Because I don't have this guy's album. I don't have this song. I wasn't thinking about this song. He just reminded me of it because he wanted to show me the correlation between him and how we should be with him. So in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this, "Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and compassion," skipping ahead in verse 2, he says, "be of the same mind." Everybody say the same mind. Maintaining the same love. The same love is what? Well, it's all of those things in verse 1 are all indicative of what the fellowship of the Spirit is. Remember 2 Corinthians 13:14 says that the faith of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you all. And the word fellowship there is the word koinonia. It really actually means to partake and participate with, to share in. So everything here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, the encouragement, the consolation of love, the affection and compassion, those are all things that are indicative of what the environment of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit is. Now, these words are really pretty blind to us because we really don't know what they mean, or, you know, we think encouragement means rah, rah, rah. And then we see the word if, and that just throws the whole thing out the window because, you know, it is for somebody else, but it's a pretty big if for me, so these don't apply to me. The fact is, this word if is the word since. It's not speculation. You know, the way this is worded in English, if there's any encouragement, there couldn't be, but there might not be, but if there is. If there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship with the Spirit, any affection and compassion. The fact is that what this verse actually says is, since there is. And the word any in the NASB, it could be worded this way. Since there is, as it were, a certain encouragement. And since there is, as it were, a certain consolation. Or you could say, it's speaking of a gentle cheering on, soothing words. Since there is this. Since there is a certain affection. And compassion surrounding the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, then be of that same mind and maintain that same love to everybody else. Now, here's the thing that's interesting, is We're talking about the consolation of love. How many know the Holy Spirit loves to be involved in your life and speak to you, encourage you, talk to you? David talked often about the word speaking to him in the nighttime. Holy Spirit speaking to him in the nighttime. And when it talks about affection, you can find this word other places, like in Philemon verses 10 through 13. Paul was talking about this young man that he met in jail, Onesimus. He said, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useful to you. He's speaking of the owner of this individual. He was his servant. But now he's useful both to us and to you and to me. Verse 12, I have sent him back to you in person. That is, I'm sending you my very heart. That phrase, my very heart, is exactly the same word, affection, over here in Philippians 2. So when Paul is talking about the environment that surrounds the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, he's talking about a place where, as far as Holy Spirit is concerned, you're his very heart. Do you understand that? You're his very heart. It is personal. It's not business. And then the word compassion. Jesus talked about his daddy. He said in Luke 6, he says, look, your sons are the Most High. Oh, and by the way, the Most High, he himself is kind and to ungrateful and evil men. Therefore, verse 36 of Matthew 6, he says, be merciful, just like your Father is merciful, or compassionate is that word. And verse 37 says, do not judge. And then later on he says, do not condemn. He's not talking about recognizing darkness and calling it darkness. He's simply saying, don't judge from the outward man. And especially the judging that natural men do that leads you to the place of condemning. Don't go there. Because that's not your Father. So Holy Spirit in your life, he doesn't blame. He's not trying to shame you. He's trying to lead you out of that. Because Father doesn't do that. But we've got to know him good enough to recognize what's him and what's not. Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah said this in verse 20. He said, you gave your good spirit to instruct them. The Holy Spirit is a good spirit. Everybody say that. Holy Spirit, you're good. That would explain a lot about the prophetic arena. Why Peter said that in the last days, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the people are going to prophesy. That's one of the things that is marked by the outpouring of the influence, the fullness of the influence of the Holy Spirit is that you're going to prophesy. And then he repeats it again. I will, in those days, pour forth of my Spirit, and they'll prophesy. Well, Paul said this in his letter to the Corinthians, one who prophesies speaks to men edification, exhortation, and consolation. Why? Because that's what Holy Spirit speaks. Paul said, be of the same spirit, maintain the same love. Imagine a church environment, folks, and I'm not talking about in the four walls. I'm talking about outside living life. Imagine an environment, and I'm done for the sake of time, I'm done. Imagine the environment of a group of folks in the body of Christ who, number one, they've rooted out every cause of blame and shame. See, I knew the devil was full of BS. I'm going to get a bumper sticker like that. And then parentheses up in blame and shame. Or I'll maybe get a shirt. That'll get the church world going. The devil's full of BS. But imagine a people in a city or in your job or anywhere you are. Imagine people who rooted out the whole blame and shame crap. And they really enjoyed just spending time with the Holy Spirit, getting to know Him. And as a result of, they began to really learn how Father thinks. Imagine what we could do in a city if we would turn around and say that the prince of darkness has nothing in me. That means, think about this, guys. That means that at an adverse word from somebody in the world, you're like Teflon, it doesn't stick. Anything that we verbalized. Do you know why the Israelites had such a problem with murmuring, complaining, griping, and moaning and groaning? Because in them was what Egypt said about them. And so, God was just another one that was against them. But if we root that crap out, nothing for anybody to say to stick to you. Imagine what you can produce in your life with a foundation of just knowing Him, and you refuse to blame, and you refuse to be blamed, and you refuse to be shamed, because Jesus took your shame. He told you this last week. Go ahead and play that song. I want you to listen to these words. Pretend like he's saying he. He didn't know it, but he was singing about the Holy Spirit. I was looking at Philippians 2, and the Holy Spirit said, there's a way about me. Learn the way about me. And then nothing else can get in there and try to counterfeit. Almost sang that song, but he had me look it up anyway, so I was amazed. I didn't even know the words said what they said. Folks, 2015 is a year that we're going to learn His ways. And it's so nice to know going into it that there is no blame or shame with Him. So get that one out of the way, so now we can move on. But just like that song was speaking about, you guys can stand up. That's how you know I'm done. Just like that song, you know, speaking of a woman personified or a wife or whatever, but so many places in Scripture, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit, of Him as the paraclete, one who's called alongside. And I love the Greek word parakletos, because it really is the word that it's speaking of someone who is constantly by your side, reminding you who you are. That's why that song struck me, because that's really what he's singing about. So when you read Philippians 2, I want you to hear that song. Because the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in your life, He desires it to be an environment of His love constantly speaking to you. His compassion constantly being poured out upon you, because you are His heart. Anybody say that? I am your heart, Daddy, and I love you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I just thank you and praise you for these people. I thank you for your hand upon their lives. I thank you, Father, that you do speak a word and heals us. Mentally, physically, in every facet of our life. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit that is our greatest cheerleader. And we never want to forget that. And we never want to get so buried with life that we just ignore your presence. And so we just declare to you that you are Lord, and Holy Spirit, you are mine. And we love you. And our whole life belongs to you. And there is nothing better. And I just thank you for it. And everybody agree with that prayer said? Amen. Amen. Well, amen. Well, go have a blessed week. Because you are. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.